and welcome to Open Finance, the podcast series that believes the future of finance is open, brought to you by Finastra. In this series, we're exploring how fintechs can help tackle climate change and what embedded finance means for the future of banks. I'm Helen Driver, founder of MoneyReady, a financial education platform and a former fund manager. In this episode, we're looking at what can be done to stamp out AI bias in financial services. AI and machine learning are revolutionising the way the financial services industry operates. But this huge opportunity comes with a risk that if left unchecked, existing human biases can be perpetuated. We spoke to Rene Satywhite, President and CEO of the African American Credit Union Coalition, to find out about the dangers of AI bias.
What I'm concerned about is the same bright people who have honest intentions are making these software programs. They haven't addressed their own implicit bias. So it's like a hamster on a wheel. It just doesn't stop. And so from that aspect, my concern terribly is the people who are making it don't look like me. They're not the colored majority. So I think if people who are making the AI modeling, if they partner with people of color so that they're really clear that they're not putting implicit bias in their data findings.
To discuss this further, we're joined by Nikolai Baldin, CEO and founder of Synthesize, which has created a data-centric software for identifying hidden biases, and by Adam Lieberman, Head of Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning at Finastra. Nikolai, can you give us a brief introduction to yourself and Synthesize?
Hi, Helen. Thank you. I'm the CEO and founder of Synthesize. And Synthesize is a software company that provides a development framework for any company to create optimized data sets for use in development and testing practices. So in a nutshell, from the user point of view, any test engineer, any software engineer needs some data for development and testing of applications and services. And we provide data which is first optimized for quality, but also optimized for things such as elimination of bias and making sure it's compliant to use in dev and test environments.
Thank you, Nikolai. And Adam, can you tell us a bit about your role at Finastra?
So I'm the Head of Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning at Finastra. And together with my data science organization, we lead the application of machine learning research and development to really innovate around the needs of the financial services industry. Part of my role is strategy, you know, surveying the field and identifying the areas of opportunity for machine learning at Finastra. The other part is hands-on development with my data science teams to develop and productize our models as APIs on our platform or, you know, integrated into products, as well as build out internal ML ops tools to create this consistently smooth machine learning engineering environment. So it's strategy mixed with a ton of statistical modeling, machine learning engineering, and it's a lot of fun.
Great. Perhaps I can ask the question about why AI bias is a problem for fintechs and other organizations. Nikolai, do you want to take that first?
I think it's very important to first define what data bias is and how it's different from AI bias. And I think it's clear that data bias causes AI bias. And also, it's clear that data bias exists when there is some difference and discrepancy in terms of the different distributions for some subsets of data we deal with. But at the same time, all data is biased. And the problem arises when the bias is, in fact, against legally protected attributes. So we have many of those in the UK, Europe, and the US. And that's, of course, discrimination, and that's illegal. And needless to say, those issues are facing so many today, and fairness and data transparency should be at the core of AI practices we have today. And the problem is even worse because of unintentionally hidden biases in data, and as a result of that, in AI algorithms. And more concretely, from the application point of view, we have, as a result of hidden biases in data, we have skewed models with implications on the customer experience. And also, of course, there are inevitable compliance and legal risks with potential reputational and also financial damages as well.
And Adam, are there other issues that you see within data bias and the problems that that can create?
Yeah, definitely. And I agree 100% with what Nikolai had just said. You know, I think, you know, bias is a problem additionally for fintechs and organizations because they don't know that the data they're modeling from has bias within it. It can stem from an uncountable number of reasons, can be hidden underneath proxies or confounding variables. You know, it can be very hard to detect if you don't really get in there and look for it within your data. And essentially, you know, these unaware companies, they're learning models to re-replicate this bias and propagate it forward, causing kind of this vicious cycle of bias. And I think, you know, as machine learning engineers, right, we're so focused on performance. We want the best F1 score, the highest accuracy, the lowest RMSE, and we have, you know, these great statistical tricks to achieve or help achieve our performance criteria. However, you know, sometimes we need to take a step back and understand that we need to prioritize people just as much as we do performance.
So why is it essential to address bias now? And what are the risks for organizations that don't tackle it?
I fully agree with what Adam said. And I think needless to say, it's very important to tackle the issue with bias now. Very simply, there is no way in 3 to 5 years or potentially even sooner, people will say, hey, we don't care about our algorithms being fair. We don't care about our data being unbiased. So it's inevitable that also regulations will become even stricter. Hence, it's better to adjust now so that we can, of course, save resources and, ensure that we protect all the users and all customers of the software as well. And from the company's point of view, many companies can quickly get competitive advantage if they put the fairness and, making sure the algorithms and data is unbiased first, right? And needless to say, so I'm the founder of the company, and there are very clear, of course, incentives for companies itself to self-regulate. So we, even though some of the countries and the regulations are still coming up, but the incentives are there, right? So because it's really important when we think about our current and future employees to make sure that we have equal opportunities for everyone and we provide those opportunities. And of course, we work with companies. We want to ensure that these principles work and respected by all our clients and partners as well. And we really see this as part of the wider ecosystem as well.
Nikolai, you mentioned a word there, which was regulation. Is that a real risk if organizations don't tackle bias in data?
In terms of the regulatory framework, we definitely see working groups in Europe and the UK right now working on different papers, proposals with regards to data bias and fairness. I think there is still lots of work to do because there are definitely lots of discussions from the theoretical point of view, but there is definitely a need for a practical solution or some actions in this space as well. And right now, there is definitely a discussion being held between different parties involved in what that framework should be and how we should incorporate those principles into our practices as well.
Focusing on solutions, Adam, how is Finastra working towards solutions to this problem?
At Finastra, you know, the first thing we do when we take on any new modeling project is we have what's called a legal and governance review. Here, you know, we classify all bits of data. We look for the PII, you know, the sensitive attributes. We highlight the use case and, you know, we determine what bias and fairness really looks like. We'll work with our product domain experts and legal experts to craft any fairness criteria outside of, you know, the standard measures we look at, like statistical parity or equalized odds that can help us measure the degree of bias in our modeling problem. Then we start with the root. You know, we go to the data, we thoroughly inspect it to determine if we see, you know, any unfairness to particular groups or individual data points that we'll be modeling. So it's a lot of heavy interaction with our domain experts to help us detect, you know, historical bias, human bias, it could be measurement or even proxy biases. And for us, you know, it's really just digging deep into the data, ensuring we have the right population for a modeling problem. And, you know, additionally, depending on the use case and, you know, how severe the outcome is for the end user, we'll leverage post-processing tactics like some adversarial debiasing to reduce, you know, impact any confounding variables or sensitive attributes could contribute. And, you know, kind of within our data science organization, we do assess fairness on all models and leverage, you know, these tools and techniques to ensure that any model we put into production, you know, is fair for our end user.
Nikolai, how does Synthesized help with a solution to the data bias issue?
I really like what Adam's team is doing with regards to the AI bias. In fact, I think we are very complementary in the sense that we really look at the data bias, which often causes AI bias. And for us, the reason to look at the data bias is also quite, Well, quite important, because we understand that data has been used not only by ML engineers and data scientists to develop models, but also it's used by marketing teams, sales teams, software engineering teams, testing teams. And we never want our software engineers and test engineers of our clients to work with biased data. So that's definitely not ideal. And we really work on eliminating data bias from data pipelines. So for that, we released the so-called Fairlens project, which allows any data engineer to discover and visualize hidden biases within data and to do so in minutes as opposed to hours, days, or even a week sometimes. So as a result of that, we provide a very clear reporting of all potential and hidden biases and data pipelines with regards to different groups in data. And of course, it's important to focus on legally protected attributes as well in the US, UK, and Europe as well.
And synthesized Fairlens platform is open source. Why is that important to you to make this technology widely available?
We really thought very, very long about it. So we definitely saw the need for the solution to identify and visualize bias in data pipelines. But we really thought also about how to work with the community, how to work with the other parties being involved. And I think it's very important to clarify that. I think there should not be a single party saying what bias is and how we define bias. It's really a lot about a collaborative effort, and there is a need for a collaborative solution. And that's why we really wanted to open source the framework. And we believe it's important to work with the wider community and make the tooling available to others so that we can all collaborate on what the formal definition of bias is, how to take actions, what it means for different countries and different jurisdictions as well, because there are also kind of slight differences for the US, Europe, UK, and many other countries. And it's really for the society to define fairness and the ways which inequalities can be ironed out. And so it's really part of the collaborative effort.
You're listening to Open Finance, the podcast series that believes the future of finance is open, brought to you by Finastra. Please rate, review, and subscribe through your usual podcast app. Building on your point about collaboration, Nikolai, Adam, what are the implications for society if we don't solve these problems collectively?
First, we really just need to seek an understanding of bias and prioritize it. Otherwise, we're just going to replicate it. You know, like I mentioned before, machine learning, sort of in a nutshell, it's about using historical data, drawing patterns and insights, and making predictions. And often our predictions become new data points that will go into a newly versioned model or even a completely different model. So if we don't start with defining what bias looks like for the problem and then looking for it within our data to ensure our model is as bias-free as it can be, then we're just going to be learning to re-replicate this bias that lives in our data set, create these biased predictions resulting in biased actions, which then again become biased data points that are used to train a further biased model. So it's kind of just a cycle of bias that can be prevented from proper understanding, inspection, planning, and then leveraging, you know, the correct mitigation techniques.
Nikolai, did you want to come in on that?
Yeah, I think it's a very good point about iterating on the issue. And I think it's also how some of the components of our algorithms of the open source framework work. Like, simple example, if you mitigate bias with regards to some groups, what may happen is that it may produce bias with regards to some other groups which you haven't really seen before, though. So it's very important to iterate on this issue. And it's one of the ways, of course, in the computer science, it's called like a greedy algorithm, to look at those situations, to look at those elements in a kind of iterative way. So I definitely agree what Adam is saying with regards to that. It's important to make sure you understand how bias propagates, what it influences, and if you change some of the variables, what else you need to look at. And that's exactly what we actually focus on with providing our report. So I think the first kind of step is to really have full visibility of hidden biases across data pipelines. And that's exactly what we focus on. And mitigation is a kind of iterative process where sometimes even different stakeholders need to work collaboratively because, of course, data ecosystem is fairly complex. We have data pipelines, databases, data warehouses, data lakes, and it's all very interconnected. So we need to make sure that the work we do with with one database or one data pipeline also propagates across other databases as well.
Okay, an open question for you both. How do you see the field of data and AI bias evolving in the future? Nikolai, do you want to take that first?
I think there is a clear understanding that, as we mentioned, there is no way in 3-5 years people will say, hey, we don't care about algorithms being fair, we don't care about data being unbiased. And it's also inevitable that the regulations will only become stricter. And with such a rapidly growing economy, commercial, operational, and reputational risks can rise very, very quickly when AI models and machine learning relies on limited, poor quality, and skewed data, biased data. And of course, we're going to see more interest and also, of course, active work of regulators, active work of academic environments, AI labs, machine learning labs at different corporates as well. And we also expect more collaborative effort, I'm pretty sure. And we already see a number of conferences specifically dedicated to fairness of machine learning models, AI, data bias. And it's going to only continue. And we're only going to see more of the events and more of the people contributing to the topic. And hopefully, so very, very soon, we are going to see also actual work in terms of the, not only I would say theoretical discussion, but also actual implications of this work. So, and something we really want to do together and provide framework and contribute to in terms of making sure we together make an impact and provide a very clear tooling of how to achieve fairness and make sure that the data we use and the algorithms we use are unbiased.
Adam, do you want to come in?
Yeah, definitely. There's a quote I read that I really love. It says, algorithms don't remember incidents of unfair bias, but our customers do. You know, I think naturally, as we, start deploying more models and consumers or the end user starts understanding, you know, that the algorithms can be producing the output that's becoming the deciding factor for them, they're naturally going to be asking more questions. And fairness is going to continue to be a hot topic and be a question on our end users' minds. And I think, you know, in terms of the future, just sort of what I'm thinking, what I'm seeing, you know, we look at machine learning and it's been such a model-centric approach. You know, we're trying to figure out different statistical properties for models or trying to build them bigger and better. You know, look at the field of natural language processing where all our models are, you know, in the news, it's, oh, this model's 1 billion parameters. This one's 1.5 billion parameters. It's who can build it bigger. But then, you know, we've really started this year to take more of a data-centric approach, you know, saying, okay, well, why don't we make sure we have the right data for the problem? Let's not try and, you know, hyperparameter tune these models, you know, on a poor quality data set. Let's go back and see if we can fix the data. And I think, you know, we're going to continue to see an increase in tools that are going to help us actually inspect our data. Because, you know, for us, it's a very, very time consuming process. But really, you know, we believe that, you know, there is bias in data. You know, show me a data set that doesn't have, you know, some bias baked in. You know, it's going to be pretty hard to find. And, you know, I think we're really going to see, you know, a focus on data centric fairness, you know, finding the tools that help us inspect our data better and faster.
I'm going to take you right back to the beginning, Nikolai. You touched on this a little bit in your introduction. I'm really interested to understand why addressing the issue of data and AI bias is important to you personally.
So me and my co-founder, we work really hard and like really long hours and been doing this for, you know, for some time. And we have a really hardworking, diverse team. And I think we've achieved a lot and constantly invest and continue to invest in equal opportunities for everyone and diversity so that all people have equal opportunities and rights at our company to grow. We believe fundamental principles to incorporate and something we really wanted to put in the foundation of how our company operates, but also something which I personally saw was and is still missing at some organizations, especially when you come from underrepresented groups and well, as many of my close friends do, and I personally consider myself as immigrant. So it was very important for us to make sure we put the right foundation in terms of how we grow and build our company as well.
And Adam, is there a personal motivation for you too?
You know, when I look at doctors and surgeons, right? You know, they're responsible to provide their patients the best medical care and advice as possible. You know, they've taken an oath to do right by their customers, which are their patients. And, you know, when I look at us as machine learning engineers, we have a responsibility too. You know, we have a responsibility to deliver high quality models that we hope serve the needs of millions of people. You know, I want to make people's lives better through machine learning. I want to help automate the redundant and boring, create insight that leads to action, and really make the world a better place through machine learning. And I'm such a big, big proponent for finance for good and helping the world. And being able to leverage statistical learning makes it twice as sweet. The models I build, they are deployed and touch the lives of people directly and indirectly. And I don't just want, you know, I need to ensure that these models are just, they're equitable, and they're fair.
And ultimately, that leads to better decision making and better outcomes for all. Well, thank you both for joining us today. It's been a fascinating discussion. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Helen, for having me. And nice to meet Adam as well. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That was Dr. Nikolai Baldin, CEO and founder of Synthesized, and Adam Lieberman, head of artificial intelligence and machine learning at Finastra. If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, have a listen to the other episodes in this series. We're exploring how fintechs can help tackle climate change and what embedded finance means for the future of banks. And do please rate, review, and subscribe through your usual podcast app. I'm Helen Driver. Thanks for listening to Open Finance, the podcast series that believes the future of finance is open, brought to you by Finastra.